Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tuesday Tips, brought to you by Hunt Lift Eat Official. I'm your host, Carter, and I'm here with this week's esteemed guest. Kind of an OG here, Jeremy Williams. What's going on, man?
Yeah. Pleasure to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while, dude. Everything been going all right?
Oh, yeah. I've just been busy with school and doing this last bit of Army Hoorah stuff. So
That's right. Yeah, Luke's on his way out. A couple other of the HLE boys are on their way out, so it must be that time.
Yep. I've got probably 18 months left from done, so.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, you've had a hell of a season, man, and I want to unpack that, and I want to talk a little bit about your school that you're doing right now, too, man, but your whitetail season was top-notch.
Yeah. I definitely have been blessed this season and the season prior to it. It's just been great, man. Like, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
It's just blessed.
I feel like every time I jump on that signal chat, you've got another big old buck on the ground.
Yeah. I think last year, between me and my wife, we ended up getting 8, and this year alone, I've gotten 7. So
that's awesome, man. Outstanding season. Well, you know, for this tips episode this week, we want to talk about kind of some successes that you've had as seasons are winding down. This is our last week here in Georgia. I don't know if you're done or you got some more. We got some extended archery going on to the end of the month.
So here in Tennessee, like they have like their main season's over with, but they have a CWD hunts that are in kind of like western, like towards Memphis area. But in Alabama, the rush is now starting to kick off, so I'm about to be going down to Alabama to deer hunt with my dad. So
heck yeah, dude!
I'm looking forward to that.
You're not done yet.
No, definitely not done yet. So
how many buck tags do you get in Alabama?
It's three per season. Two can be one has to be 4-point or better, but the rest can be spikes. But I don't waste my time with that. So
yeah, looking at your wall behind you, man, that's
yeah.
Not gonna be your time priority.
Yeah, that's Alabama buck, and that's a Kentucky buck up there. So
nice, man. Let's jump into it, dude. Let's talk about a couple things that you did this season that helped lead to such a successful whitetail season. You killed 3 really nice bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my latest one actually was one that I've been chasing for about a month and a half, but. He's a pure public land archery, a Tennessee public land buck, and I did map recon and found there was a draw that was on the side of the power lines, and I just went, and it was probably about like a half mile, a 3/4 mile away from the parking area, so, but to get there is. Like you gotta walk up a cliff, it's like that. So I was like, "Well, I don't really expect anybody else to be there." So
yep.
that's where I started, and just by looking at the map, I was able to narrow down just a specific area to hunt for that day. And when I walked up there, there was just deer sign that was ridiculous. Like I think I counted 13 rubs in a single like 100-yard area.
Oh man,
I was like, "Holy crap!"
Yeah. Are you using Onyx for your e-scouting?
No, I use Hunt Stand because Onyx, like I may be dumb, which I mean I'm from Alabama, so I'm probably just too stupid to use it. But I don't like the interface, but Hunt Stand is a lot better for me. So okay.
Cool, nice man. So you're doing some e-scouting, finding where to set up. What kind of setup were you using for that public land?
Just my summit Viper. Like I'm still one of the tree basket guys.
Classic.
Yeah, haven't used a saddle yet. So
nice, man. And you know, tell us a little bit about the program that you're in with university right now.
So the class. So I'm in Unity College, Unity Environmental College. It's out of Maine. It's doing it online, and. My degree is wildlife conservation, so like we've So it expands into every realm from like sea turtles, mammals, like reptiles, everything. Like I did a sea turtle rehabilitation program. That was awesome.
Very cool.
But the one that you're referring to is it's called a Deer 101, and it was taught by a former professor that belonged to the Mississippi State University Deer Lab. Dr. Eagsley, I think is his name. But it was a 5-week class, and he went over everything from like deer biology, why they move, when they move, how they move, and like what are their scent glands, their vision. And I learned more in 5 weeks than I've learned probably in 20 years of bow hunting. So it was amazing.
Yeah, when I heard you talk about that, man, I was really jealous. What are some of your like favorite takeaways from that class that transfer to the hunting?
Just how deer use scent glands as a form of communication. Like it goes way deeper than what you guys would expect. Like the tarsal glands on the back of the hindquarters, like those don't don't emit scent as you guys think they would. But what they actually do is like the deer actually piss themselves, and that's where the scent comes from, because the gland itself secretes like this lipid oil that just binds with the urine, and that's where the scent comes from. But like the gland itself is scentless. And then also like a deer's vision is so much more advanced than I thought it would be. If a deer is bent down feeding, it can see 310 degrees
Jeez.
without having to move his head.
Jeez. That's how those bust us all the time.
It's insane. And they have like three times more rods in their eyes, and that's what picks up the movement. But like we can zoom in with our eyes, but because we have a monocular vision, but they don't. But what they do have is like a think of it like your own eye, like your peripheral vision is here, theirs would be above and beyond because their pupils are horizontal. They have really good eyesight in the middle of their eyes, but at the top and bottom is kind of fuzzy. But that's why you see like a deer staring at you, like they're trying to move their head, trying to get because they have no depth in their like depth to their vision.
That's fascinating, man. So, you know, what were some of the things that you were able to transfer to your hunting season that helped led to your success?
There are all sorts of gimmicks out there, about how to fool a deer's nose. It's impossible. You can't do it. Like these Ozonics or freaking like these like deer jammer or like nose jammer, it doesn't work. Like people swear by them, but 9 times out of 10, a deer is going to smell you when it's downwind of you. And so I had two routes to go into for this public land deer that I was chasing. If it was a north wind, it was an easy day because all I had to do was walk. But if it was a south wind, that's when I had to go across a swamp and crawl up a freaking mountain. That sucked because it was more often a south wind than it was a north wind, so I got really good in shape again. So
That's awesome. That's cool, man. You know, it's a multi-million dollar business, right? These products out there that, you know, get sold to hunters, right? It's not necessarily a hunting product. It's really sometimes I feel like that with camo too. They're selling to the person, not necessarily to the sport.
I'm actually glad you said that because, I saw, like, I was in academy yesterday, looking for a waterproof jacket to go waterfowl hunting, and I saw a backpack that said like UV camo pattern. I'm like, oh God, because deer see in a blue and green spectrum. Well, UV brighten up those blue colors, so essentially you'll be glowing with that backpack.
Like a highlighter.
Yeah, so I was like, but why would you make that like your main targeting, like your marketing campaign right there? Just like people don't know
People
that.
don't know, yeah, exactly.
So I was like, oh God.
That's cool, man. So how'd the hunt go down with that Tennessee guy?
Oh, all right, so Hope you got a minute. All right, so it was probably it was middle of December, but I first saw him like around the 1st of November because I actually tagged out early on Fort Campbell. Fort Campbell, like you're allowed one buck. Well, so I started looking for other areas, and I found Haynes Bottom. First time I got there, there was hardly anybody in the parking lot, so in the tag area. So I decided to just go scout around. Like I said, I got a hunt stand and started marking areas to go hunt. Well, I found those rubs, and then I looked at the direction which it came from, and they came from a hilltop that was covered by some that was like a pine thicket. That was at the top end of this ridge, that was fed up by a draw. So I decided to go set up on the spur that was on the other side of that draw, because I thought they would come up the draw and go into the bedding area. Turned out I was opposite of that, but it's all right. And that's when I first saw him. I saw him come out of the feeding area, like the pines on top, and he started going away from me about 80 yards. And when I first saw him, like, my mouth hit the floor. I mean, just antlers, like, oh my God. So then I put my time and effort into him. And middle December, I finally guessed right, because it was a north by northeast wind, which I'd never had before, and I had to have that to be able to hunt the backside of the backside of the ridge where it came from. And I figured that's where he'd come from again. And probably I got there at 5:45, and like daylight was at like 6:20, and I started seeing some does and some smaller bucks. Well, probably about 40 yards away, I heard a grunt, like a deep grunt. And then here he come. I'm like, oh God, there he is. So I went ahead and like looked around, because like there was deer all around me. Like I had deer behind me, I had deer like over here. But the wind was cutting me this way. And but luckily nothing came to this side. But I had does probably 5 yards below my tree stand, so. And he was feeding this way, and then he came around with a he was actually with three other bucks. Ooh. One was real wide eight, and one was kind of like a basket rack. Well, that basket rack swung all around, and they all like they started coming this way, like this way towards me. And I was like, oh please, please don't come up behind me. And the big one was coming straight at me because he was trying to check a doe. Well, I had to wait until that doe cleared, and then right as soon as that doe cleared, the other buck came up behind me and caught my scent trail. I caught my scent, just jerked his head up, and when he jerked his head up, well, the big eight stopped and lifted his head up, and when he turned his head, I just jumped up and shot. Oh, it happened like that.
Yeah.
He was 15 yards from me. Whenever I sent it
in the thick of it.
And then I watched him fall. He went probably 30 yards. Like he was facing me, kind of quartering facing me, and I punched right through his pump house.
Nice, man.
Centered him, and then he fell, and I just remember, oh, now what?
Yeah.
And the first person I called was my wife, who bless her heart, she was on a night shift. So like she had just gone off work at like 5 a.m. So like, I was going to sleep, and I called her freaking out, and she didn't understand what I was saying. After it clicked with her, she goes, oh my God, like, send me a picture. So.
That's awesome, man. So, you know, playing the wind is really important. I feel like a lot of guys don't do that. I feel like sometimes whitetail hunters get lazy and are like, I'm hunting today. I'm going to this stand. You know what I mean? Like, really,
we are
hoping for the best. So what do you use to track winds?
Well, I mean, humans are creatures of habit, so, like, so, but hunt stand has a very good wind checker kind of deal, but it's not always accurate.
Right.
So I have actually it's like a little bottle that has I use dust and also milkweed.
Yeah.
by the little town, by the tiny milkweed. That way I can see wind channels come up by thermals and stuff, especially in the morning time.
Yeah.
Because thermals and wind are kind of different sometimes. So
yeah, milkweed's an excellent tip, man. If you're not, you know, those powders, I carry the powder in my vinyl harness, and that's great. But the you can watch the milkweed rise or sink down depending on the thermals.
Yeah. And it's not expensive either. Like it's very easy to find too. Yep. So
yeah, absolutely, man. That's awesome. What other tips kind of helped you out this season for your success?
Well, so I use a compass as well. So I've gotten where that's my hunt pack behind me. I use a little fanny pack. I could go like a grandpa, but I have a compass in there. And that's how I check direction of my stand for future hunts. Mm. That way I know that if I'm facing north, by forecast wise, which way to kind of orientate my tree stand for next time, or just where the wind would be hitting from my different wind directions. That's something my dad taught me when I was little. So
that's a good one. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Sometimes we set up stands based on what looks good to us, right? But it's not always the most functional.
Yeah, that's a true statement. Me and my dad had one of my dad's friends had a property in Newmarket, Alabama. It wasn't but probably 15, 20 acres, and it was surrounded by like these big ag fields. But in that 20 acres, would hold probably upwards of 60 deer.
Mm-hmm.
But you would never know it just by looking at it. So that's where we kind of coined the phrase, little woods hold big deer. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's awesome. What else you got on your list?
Let me see.
Notes.
Yeah. Definitely college has taught me well. That's for sure. I already talked about the eyes. I guess my biggest tip would just be patience. I mean, I know that gets harped on time and time again, but just patience. I mean, there were times where I knew I wanted to hunt that day, but I knew he'd probably be moving around the time, and I didn't want to get busted. So I had to talk myself out of it and be like, no, you can go tomorrow when the conditions are better.
Yeah, that's a really good one, man. Sometimes we force it, you know. We want to go hunt so bad, and like, whatever, I'm just going to go, but you can do more harm than good, and you may never see that buck again, you know?
Yeah, so the day before I got him, actually, like, I had a big fight with myself because I was trying to, I was trying to rush it. I was like, no, tomorrow the cold front's coming in, and you start leave, so just that way you can hunt all day. But just give him this one day, because it was gonna be like 3 p.m. and every time I see him, it was probably like 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd been walking in like right as soon as he would have stepped out, probably, and I wouldn't have seen him the next day. So
yep,
luckily.
That's a really good tip, man. I chased one particular buck this entire season and my freezer is good to go, so I didn't feel the need to pull the trigger on anything, and help some people get some deer off of my property, which is awesome. And then my neighbor ended up killing that buck I've been chasing for 2 years. He killed it 2 weeks beforehand, which is a real bummer, but I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't have held out, but you know, knowing when to go and when not to go, that's a really good tip.
Hindsight is always 20/20. So, yep. And plus, like, there's plenty of deer on your property. So, right. So like the chance of another trophy sized buck coming through is probably upwards of 90%. So.
Right. Just got to be patient, right?
Yep. Patience is key.
That's cool, man. Well, I'm stoked for your success this season, man. You got any other last minute tips?
Check your equipment, because I kind of had a no-no this season. So I went to the wrestling arsenal to hunt with my dad, and I had a great plan. Like, I had a killer spot that I was going to get into, and I get to my I get to the ridge I wanted to hunt, and I realize that I left my pull-up rope in the truck. And I'm not trying to climb a tree by putting my gun on my back. Like people that do that scare the hell out of me. So, yeah. But I was like, I'm not risking it. So I sat my happy ass on the ground that day. but it sure would have been nice if I could see.
Yeah.
Because it's so thick. I'm sure those deer walking within 50 yards of me, and I couldn't have saw it. I couldn't see them.
Yeah.
So just always check your stuff in the truck.
Yep. Absolutely. Doing a little gear layout never hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Little PCs, PCIs, you know?
Man, for sure. Well, that's awesome, man. I stoked for your season, man. And you got a little bit more left, and hope you can put another nice one on the ground, man.
Hopefully so. Dad's getting up there in age, so it falls on me now. So yeah. Kind of passed the torch.
Yeah.
So now it's my turn to provide meat for him, since he did that for me growing up. So
yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, listeners, if y'all, wherever y'all are at, if you have any more deer season left, tag us in your pictures, tag us in your setups. You know, show us a picture from your stands, and if you get anything on the ground, we want to see it. We want to hear about it. That always makes me excited when other folks kill deer too.
Yeah, and size doesn't matter. Like that's
yep.
Like a deer's a deer. Like if it got your heart pumping, then we want to hear about that story and just how the adrenaline affected you.
Yep, absolutely. Always. Well, cool, Jeremy. I appreciate your time, dude. And
absolutely,
keep me in the loop, man.
Well, I mean, you guys are definitely hear about it if I get another one on the ground. So
good deal. And listeners, as always, we appreciate the hell out of you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.